Welcome to Mayer Talks, a podcast about responsible investing.
Mayer Capital is regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority in the United Kingdom. The investment services of Mayer are only available to professional clients and eligible counterparties for the purposes of the FCA's rules. Past performance does not predict future results, and the capital value of investments and the income generated can fluctuate. This week I'm joined by Oliver Hurry, founder of Galvanize, and who for the last 15 years has been working with businesses to translate sustainability into business cases, metrics, investment cases, risk management and innovation for mainly the larger consumer brands in the retail, pharmaceutical and chemical industries. Last week I spoke to Ollie about his experiences at COP26, but the conversation moved on to some more general observations about sustainability and its impact on business.
Sustainable business is my business, but I'm not a greenie by nature. I wouldn't grow up as someone who campaigned to it. You know, my parents read The Guardian. That's about as sustainable as we got. But you know, ultimately, I got into sustainability because my business at the time was about spotting red hot business trends. That's why I got into sustainability. And when I got into sustainability and started developing something around sustainability, it exploded because it was just good timing and all that sort of good stuff. But ultimately, if you're in business, you want long-term, surefire bets. That's what you want. You want some certainty. You want some obvious trajectory. You know, you want all those things. One thing that's absolutely guaranteed is the direction that this planet is going in. Okay, that is clear and that is guaranteed. So that is a phenomenal thing to build a business and an investment portfolio or whatever it is on, because it is getting more exciting all of the time. So the trajectory is getting faster, but it is only going one way. I mean, what's more exciting than that from an investment point of view? So I think, as a sort of sustainable business cynic, as well as a sustainable business pro kind of champion, if you want to call it that, I think it's very exciting. And I think you're starting to see people in functions, in roles that would have never normally cared about this, actually caring about it. I mean, I spent a weekend in Amsterdam with two CPOs, CPO of Bayer and CPO of Henkel, two massive chemicals companies, phenomenally good business. So their CPO, I spent 2 days with him at the weekend in Amsterdam. We've been working together to create a new initiative called Sustainable Procurement Pledge, which is ultimately getting procurement professionals to embed sustainability and responsibility even better into their ways of working in order to manage risk, in order to manage security of supply, in order to manage all of the things that procurement needs to manage. Sustainability is a lovely byproduct of that. Let's be clear. And there are people that are doing it procurement for people and planet, but I think they're doing it for the profession as well as the people and planet. And that is extraordinary. And I think procurement has for a long time been underappreciated as a core function of the business. They're seen as the bean counters and, you know, the cut costs and the hard negotiators, but they are absolutely custodians of future business and innovation and circular economy and the way that you'll transform your business model. So they see this as a way of actually transforming their profession. And to see them being passionate about people and planet, yes, but the glint in their procurement eye, which was about better deals, you know, stronger relationships, more security of supply, less COVID disasters, all of that sort of stuff is really at the heart of it, of course, as well.
What I want to kind of say is that we're focusing on ESG from the investment point of view. We're trying to understand what that will look like from the outside as someone that's going into these businesses. What does that look like from the inside? Is it something that's driven from the very top? Is it driven from shareholders? Are there people within the business who can make more of a change than you might expect?
So good question. So when it works best in a business, it's a perfect storm of everybody. You've got investors asking very, very tough questions. So the likes of the Black Rocks and Larry Finks and so on, making those claims and those commitments. And increasingly, investors are starting to use technology and data to really understand which of their portfolio is, you know, through the lens of sustainability and ESG, going to perform better or not. Because there's clear evidence, you know, Unilever and others, that sustainable portfolios do tend to do better than none. So in the right environment, obviously. So I think it's absolutely, investors get this and they're driving it hard, which is seeing boards sort of running around for the first time and sort of saying, oh, we've got a sustainability person, haven't we? Quick, let's let them in and let's hear that plan that they've been talking to us about for ages and we've been ignoring. So that's kind of one pressure. then you've got kind of bottom up. You've got, again, not just sustainability professionals who, frankly, just historically have been sort of teams that have been sort of put there and, you know, not really listened to and sort of spent most of the last 20 years trying to convince other people in the business. But now they're the kind of heroes that are going to meet these investor demands. They're going to be the CEOs are going out, C-suite are setting targets without even checking with the sustainability team at the moment. So we're not starting to see this complete reversal. And I'm hearing of sustainability professionals being thrown into boardrooms saying, you know, that thing you've wanted us to do for ages, we've now done it. And we're a bit worried that it's too big. And they've gone, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I've got to come up with a plan for this. I'm going to need lots of money, please. So things are changing bottom up as well. But I think that point of seeing procurement and seeing finance and seeing business leaders who I think there's an element of their kids having a go at them. There's an element of them coming to the end of their lives and wanting to do something more with it. There's an element of them just realizing they need another reason to create value in their business. Whatever it is, they're becoming enlightened and they're driving that. I think that's probably one of the most exciting things. But customers and suppliers. So you've got suppliers saying, well, hold on, you know, we want to offer you more sustainable alternatives because we are, you know, we can offer you lower costs, you know, more secure supply, et cetera, et cetera. Seeing suppliers actually leading and pushing out. But of course, customers is key. And it doesn't matter whether it's consumers or business customers, you're ultimately that drive is critical because it's funny how that makes any business change and act immediately is the moment their customers start demanding it. But the problem there is often you get different demands from different customers, particularly in business customers. You get them asking slightly different things in slightly different ways to all of their different suppliers. And that creates a bit of a confusion about what do we actually do then? And how do we do it 15 different ways to different customers? So it is a perfect storm of pressure from all stakeholders. And that, again, in any business trend, that's very exciting.
One of the debates, and you sort of alluded to it a little bit in the investment community, is engagement the way forward or is it disinvestment? So engage, you own, you lobby the board, you become a bit of a pain and say, this is what we want to happen. We are, after all, part owners of a business, and so we can influence the direction. The flip side, of course, is that you make certain business practices unpopular from an investment point of view, you sell and therefore you raise the cost of capital or of doing that. Do you see any, you know, what's the distinction between the two? Is one better than the other? Is it case dependent?
Yeah, it's a very good point. I mean, like all things, I think it is dependent. I think this is sort of parallels with the supply chain there a little bit. So do you stop using a supplier because they are dirtier from a carbon perspective, or they've got human rights issues, or and they could affect your brand and all of those sorts of things? I mean, that's obviously tends to be the case in procurement. Go, they don't perform, so let's stop using them. You know, that's that point of view. But I think that's changing quite dramatically because take it from human rights perspective, which is a little bit less tangible, but, you know, for people to get their head around and measure and all that sort of thing. But it's understandably important. Yes, from a, God, you know, we can't treat people badly or point of view, obviously, but it will tear your brand apart. If you buy a pencil and that pencil turns out to have had some pretty serious human rights abuses around it, Unilever could be in a serious bad place. And we're dealing with share price loss because of a pencil. You know, so the realities are that it is absolutely critical. So but if you stop using a supplier because they're abusing their staff, that's not going to make things better for those staff. So, I mean, this is one of the sort of dichotomies that there is at the moment, is that you can't really stop doing something with someone because they're doing something bad. You actually need to sort of really think about how can we actually drive change here? Because, you know, you're going to need those sources of supply. You need to actually drive change there. Same with emissions. I think what tends to happen is companies, again, with a sort of supply chain parallel here, are sort of saying to their suppliers, and I suppose investors to their investment portfolios, we want you to reduce your carbon. Okay, that's all well and good you're telling me that, but I have no energy management expertise. I'm not an expert on sustainability. I'm not an expert on emissions reduction. So how can that's fine that you're telling me, but just telling me or sending me a questionnaire asking me about my emissions is going to magically make me reduce my emissions. So it's appreciation that the three reasons why suppliers, and I would expect investment portfolio members would say the same thing. The three reasons you don't reduce emissions is you don't know what to do, you've got no one to do it, and you've got no money to do it. Or less about the money, but you can't put a good business case together. There's always a business case for emissions reduction. It's just often the not ability to put that business case together. So I think whether it's investors or it's supply chain owners talking to their portfolios or the supply chains, I think the message is still the same. How do you capability and capacity build your portfolio or your supply chain at scale to improve? There will be some people who are ultimately lost to this and they will go out of business. That's pretty clear. But I think the general approach of disinvestment or, you know, delisting or just not using a supplier in that analogy, I think is changing. I think we're starting to see some really exciting capability and capacity building at scale. And a lot of that comes through technology. You know, it isn't about sort of sending people around factories or sending people around offices trying to understand what they're up to and sort it out. This is really about enabling them to access knowledge at scale in platforms and technologies. And there's some really good examples of that. So seeing that more and more. We'll be right back.